Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm excited today to be here with Dr. Jim Stringham. He's a PhD researcher, and he's currently Chief Scientific Officer for MacuHealth. I was going to call you Chief Medical Officer, but I love this whole science piece.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a scientist. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And the reason I do is because you have so much to do with development, with making certain that quality is as it should be for the company, but research is really your baby, right?
Yeah, that's right. For about 25 years now, I've been involved in, you know, chasing these nutrients around, you know, specifically lutein, zeaxanthin, and mesozeaxanthin, but also to a lesser extent DHA and EPA, the omega-3 fatty acids. But yeah, and here we are 25 years later, you know, bringing them to the world and, you know, trying to improve health, improve performance, you know, with the nutrients.
Talk about that. So what type of people, I'll say patients, have you worked with in bringing this to the world?
So it's kind of ironic that this area got started kind of at the end of life, obviously macular degeneration. And, you know,
right.
You ask people on the street if they've heard of lutein, and they'll say, oh, well, I think that's, you know, that's my grandma's eye vitamin or something like that, you know. And certainly in the optometric field, you know, ophthalmology, we hear about that. The early research in 1994, really the very beginning of it with Johanna Seddon's work out of Harvard, showed that this lifelong, you know, good diet, you know, diet that contained, you know, leafy greens, spinach and collard greens, had a 43% reduced risk for developing AMD.
Wow.
So this, you know, was really cool, interesting. Of course, certainly the leading cause of visual disability in America, in the Western world,
right?
AMD. So let's, you know, hit that. And so, of course, that led to, you know, some of the big studies, AREDS namely. And so we were, you know, lingering here in the end stage of life, macular degeneration. In fact, these nutrients, the body uses them, you know, early and often, if you give the body enough of them, right back into the womb. I mean, as early as the womb.
Wow.
And there's data on that. I've tested macular degeneration patients. I've tested, you know, military personnel. I worked with the Air Force for 5 years.
That's right.
High-level performance individuals, athletes, college and pro athletes, college students, you know. And so, you know, across really the lifespan, you know, we see benefits.
Everyone wants to see better, and no one wants to lose their vision. I mean, we all have that in common. So when people know that this can make a difference, I think it's huge. And it's great to think that we might all just eat right. But I think the other thing you're finding and helping us to understand is that might not be the only thing we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always encourage people, you know, to try their best to eat right, to have a, you know, well-rounded diet, lots of colors and all of that. It's frustrating, though, because to do that consistently, it can be difficult. Nutrient density in foods has been on the decline for a variety of reasons. And so even if you do eat pretty well, sometimes you're lacking the nutrients you need. And specifically these nutrients, you know, lutein, zeaxanthin, mesozeaxanthin, they are found in the foods that we used to eat. We had to eat them because we, you know, I mean, they're talking about evolutionary history here, way
Many
back in the
ago.
Day, you needed to eat this to stay alive. And it was readily available. You didn't necessarily have to cook in all of these factors. And so now, you know, we have so many options. We have salt and sugar and fat around every corner. And so, yeah, those things were scarce in the past. And we've developed this, you know, it's desire for them, of course, but they're not leafy greens. And that's where, you know, the body's expecting a lot of these nutrients for development, for protection of tissues, for enhancing the performance of tissues. And we're just not providing the nutrients.
So one of the things that what I want to do, Jim, is I want to come back to how do we take what MacuHealth and your team has put together and bring it to our patients in practice? And how do we have easy conversations and conversations that everyone understands? So we take all this information that you just said. Now a patient is sitting here. I've just checked your eyes. And let's say you're 20 and you don't have macular degeneration, but you have blue eyes, you have fair skin, light hair, sure, and you have a family history. What could that conversation and should that conversation look like? And I have MacuHealth that I sell in my practice. Mm-hmm. I also have TD Omega, so the omega-3s.
Right, right.
And so I don't want to talk to them just about their eyeballs. I want to help them to understand how this is going to help them overall. What should I say? How can I make that simple?
Yeah, and this has been the biggest challenge, I think, in terms of, you know, having that conversation, the nutrition conversation. Western medicine is set up to, you know, wait until something's broken,
yep,
and then fix it. And so that model, it is kind of detrimental to health, I think.
Right.
And especially when you can do something about it, you know, you can take the preventative approach. And that is very clear. I mentioned the study early, Johanna Seddon's work, a lifetime of good diet.
Yeah.
Leads to a 43% reduced risk. That was replicated, by the way, in 2011. Same, I mean, just Julie Mars at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, wow, 46% reduced risk. And these were women with the highest quintile of diet, you know, healthy diet. And it comes down to these leafy greens and colored fruits and vegetables. Yeah. So if you do that, that speaks to prevention. So throughout your life, you're preventing damage. And so for a patient, you know, coming in, this is a big deal, especially one with a family history of AMD.
Right.
You're 20, 30 years old. You're like, gosh, you know, grandma and grandpa, you know, went blind from this disease. I don't want that. And,
yep,
and you know, we're living longer. We want to push that stuff out and maintain function. And so, you know, I say, I tend to present it to, you know, my subjects and studies as well. If you can build these pigments up to higher levels in the eye, which you can go staggeringly high in the eye if you were consistent with these nutrients, you're building this wall of protection and staving off cumulative damage over time, over decades. And so that's the only reason really that we see these effects. You're, yeah, you know, you're preventing cumulative damage. You're giving the eye a chance, you know, to age healthfully.
That's
and
good.
And so, you know, I think that I, being the scientist, it's like, come on, this just makes too much sense.
Right.
You know, this is what I found in my study. Just do it.
It's one little supplement.
Right, right.
With the omegas. No, yeah, big deal. Pop it in your mouth. Take it. And if you want to have a smoothie with it, go right ahead. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's just consistency is the key. So, you know, every day with a meal. That has been shown to increase enhanced bioavailability. Hold it in the gut a little longer. And it, you know, it's able to get into this special, you know, matrix where it's more easily absorbed.
Got it.
You know, I mean, these are all factors, but I think that bottom line, you're in your optometrist's office. You know, I think it's, you know, really, you know, behooves the optometrist to say, hey, this is reality. And, yeah, you know, there is something you can do. It's up to you. We have the knowledge. We have the science to back it up, and it's solid. And you know, and we can do this. You will see a difference. You know, in 6 months, you'll see changes in your vision that are beneficial.
There are times when I've said to a patient, "You pay me. You are paying me to give you my best advice, mm-hmm, as your doctor, and this is what I will tell you it should be." So let's take it back to that 20-something-year-old patient. Now let's say she's a female, mm-hmm, so she could have a baby at any, yep, point. She's, mm-hmm, of childbearing age. How would that conversation change a little bit based on what you just said? You said something, yeah, about pregnancy and all of these
sure,
areas. Go ahead.
It starts early in life. I mean, it's kind of a wonder of evolution that the human body has repurposed plant pigments. I mean, think of that for a second. You know, plants can synthesize their own carotenoids like lutein, zeaxanthin, mesozeaxanthin, and we consume them and then we put them to work to do virtually the same thing that they do for plants, which is protect light sensitive, you know, tissues. And so that's an amazing thing. And that would illustrate that these pigments are very important.
This starts
very early in life. And I say that because we have data it was speculated about 20, 25 years ago that they may have an important role in development, neurodevelopment, development of the eye, the brain.
Wow.
And then now we have proof, we have evidence, you know, that the mother's intake of these nutrients, the level in her serum, in her blood, are correlated directly, significantly with what's in the umbilical cord. And of course, you know that if it's in the umbilical cord, it's going to the baby's tissues. Mm-hmm. We now have skin data. One of the target tissues for carotenoids is the skin. And so concentration in the mother's skin is directly correlated to a newborn baby's skin concentration.
Wow.
Right? And we have, as early as 4 months old, we have imaging from Paul Bernstein at the University of Utah, his group, in the eye, macular pigment starting to accumulate. And so it starts very young. Breast milk is rich in lutein particularly. And, you know, new milk, colostrum, the very first milk that a baby eats. The first food we eat is often yellow, a rich yellow color. That's because of lutein. I mean, isn't that amazing? So the body concentrates, you know, these nutrients in such high levels that, you know, it turns the color of a, you know, a food for an infant, you know, yellow. So
that's
it's pretty
incredible.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, yeah.
So another piece of conversation we can have with that patient in those years of life is to help them to understand how important this is, not only going to be for them, but for any child. And so does that also mean, Jim, that children can take MacuHealth?
Yeah, absolutely. There hasn't been any established toxic level or you know, but right now the FDA, it's got GRAS status. So generally regarded as safe, up to levels of 300 milligrams a day. Yeah, and so that's a lot. You know, one pill of MacuHealth has 22 milligrams, so you'd have to eat the entire bottle.
Right.
It still wouldn't hurt you, but yeah, we wouldn't recommend that. But just to give you an idea of the lack of toxicity. So, you know, that's been established. I have three daughters, and I mean, they're a little bit older now, 17 through 20. But when they were as old as, I mean, I think 7 or 8 years old, whenever they could swallow a pill, they were taking it. And I have the privilege of being able to measure their macular pigment, their skin carotenoids. They're all doing great. And on all these measures of visual performance, they're rocking it. Yeah, it's really cool.
Puts them a step ahead. I mean, you did the research and actually worked with, you've continued to work with athletes.
Yep.
And you were at the military for a while, working with some of the best there.
Yeah, pilots, military personnel outside of the Air Force, Marines out in Quantico. And yeah, so did some really neat work there. And, you know, again, benefits across the board for vision, vision and glare, speed of visual processing, contrast sensitivity is one that consistently in many labs shows, you know, benefit from this supplementation.
Wow. Well, yeah, you've mentioned a few times already the fact that you can measure this. So talk to us about that. I actually have the Life Meter in my practice. It's been amazing. But I want you to tell us, what is the Life Meter? Is that what you're talking about when you talk about measuring? And then how does it work? So let's start there.
Okay. Yeah. So the light, this is an interesting thing for a vision scientist like myself to talk about skin. Like, okay, well, what? You know, aren't you focused on the eye? And yes, I am, you know, a vision scientist, but I recognize the value, and I've given in. Skin is really the amount of information you get from the skin is it's correlated first with the macular pigment, so it's a nice proxy measure for what's in the eye. So that is good. So you're checking that box. Moreover, you know, you get a measure of sort of a dietary status. How much is your patient taking in terms of fruits and vegetables, these carotenoids, whether or not they're compliant with a diet or with supplementation, you know, because that thing tells the truth, you know, and it'll let you know. And you know, if you don't go up, that probably means you're not taking your supplement. This is what we found. And it really gives you an indication of just general health. And so it's expanding the scope of optometry. And that, I think, is super important. We know, obviously, you know, as an optometrist, other health factors that impact vision, you know, cardiovascular health, hypertension, diabetes, certainly. And, you know, we see that in patients with diabetes, for instance, it's a pro-inflammatory disease, systemically, you know, inflammatory.
Right.
And so the body uses these compounds, these carotenoids, systemically, and they quench free radicals. They also reduce inflammation systemically before they get deposited in the skin or the eye. And so if you're supplementing and you're diabetic, those nutrients get used up before they make it to the eye. And so it's not a bad thing that they get used up. They're helping with systemic inflammation.
Right.
But we've known for a long time that, for example, macular pigment is lower in diabetics, all things being equal.
Yep.
Despite having a good diet, despite perhaps supplementing, your macular pigment is only about half the level as a non-diabetic.
Wow.
So that's something, you know, to really think about. You're able to get that from skin. You know, even if they're supplementing and they're compliant and their score falls below a certain level you'd like to see them at, you know, there might be something else going on. Like, well, all right, this is interesting. You may need more, in fact. And we're sort of starting to address that, you know, potentially kind of getting into a two-a-day thing. Again, it's not harmful. You're able to, you know, maintain higher levels. Presumably that's getting into the eye, brain, wherever else these nutrients go. So,
well, that was, that was going to be my next question is, what do you do if a patient says, no, Jim, I am using this every day. I am taking my MacuHealth faithfully every single day. And they come back in a year. Maybe it's 6 months. I mean, if it were less than 6 months, then maybe it's just too soon. I mean, talk to that. I mean, I tell them we should see a difference in 3 months.
Yes.
Yeah. So now let's say they come back in 6 months. We don't see a change. What do?
We are excited to have CooperVision as a sponsor of our podcast. CooperVision is one of the world's leading contact lens manufacturers, and they serve eye care professionals and patients in over 130 countries. Their innovative products help millions of patients see every single day. One of the technologies and innovations that we love the most about CooperVision is their groundbreaking technology in soft contact lenses that helps to slow the progression of myopia in children 8 to 12 years old at the initiation of treatment.
Okay, so there's a couple of things going on here.
Yeah,
so when you're talking about anything that's ingested, you've got, okay, the conditions under which it's ingested. And again, taking it with a meal is ideal.
Okay.
And that can make a difference. For instance, you know, an optometrist that we both know, Harvey Hanlon, he's a faithful MacuHealth user, and he did his skin measure. And so we're, you know, looking to target 400 as a score on the life meter. And, you know, to stay 400 or above.
Right.
Well, Harvey gets measured and he's, I think, 308. And he said, what's going on?
Right.
I mean, I've taken MacuHealth for many, many years. I said, oh gosh, this is a little odd. And I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe Harvey's getting a little older, whatever, you know, maybe there's something to do with it, you know? And, and then I asked him, you know, like I ask everybody, when do you take it? And he said, oh, I take it every morning. I said, do you take it with breakfast? Oh no, I just take it and I have some black coffee. And then I don't, you know, I eat a little later, maybe. I said, okay, Harv, let's do this. You know, before we change anything and have you taken two or three pills a day or anything like that, do me a favor, take it with or just after a meal, you know, dinner, breakfast, whatever, as long as it's a decent meal, 400 or 500 calories at least, something like that. So he does this. For 6 months, we measure him again, and he's at about 470.
Wow.
So he goes up quite a bit, just that modification. So,
So
bioavailability is a big deal. And you get decent bioavailability even on an empty stomach with MacuHealth. We don't, you know, we're pretty much head and shoulders above other supplements that way. However, that with the meal thing is important. And then if you don't see changes in 6 months, you might, you know, we've seen bariatric patients, we've seen malabsorption patients, you know, they may need extra. They may need a different method. Yeah, two would be good to consider for sure to raise it up.
Medicine? What about medicine
and
if
then,
they take it with the wrong thing?
Yeah. So there aren't really any contraindications in terms of, you know, interactions with medications, other nutrients or anything like that. However, there are reports, and you'll hear about like statins, for instance. There is a temporary effect of statins. Now, what are statins designed to do? They're designed to lower cholesterol. Carotenoids, like lutein, zeaxanthin, mesozeaxanthin, they get carried around in the body on cholesterol. That's just, they're like little transporters. So if cholesterol goes down, then, well, you've got fewer, you know, taxis to take the, right? But this is a temporary thing. what ultimately happens after a couple of months is that more carotenoid molecules get concentrated and attached to each cholesterol molecule. Okay. So it gets compensated for. So the headline was, you know, if you take a statin, then you don't absorb carotenoids. No, that you absorb the carotenoids. It's just that they need to develop a new strategy for, you know, catching on to the taxi getting in. So
incredible.
Yeah, and so you're okay there. I mean, and if it's a temporary effect. I mean, if you go on a statin.
So it wouldn't help then for them to have more in their body because the taxis aren't there to take them anywhere.
Well, right. Not initially, at least. Yeah. Okay. And it gets carried almost equally, at least most reports indicate on equally on LDL and HDL. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's, you know, but the LDL is what we're looking to lower usually. And generally speaking, we see an inverse happen where HDL will go up as LDL goes down.
Wow.
On these medications. So you kind of covered a little bit that way as well. So
we talked about carotenoids being important in for inflammation, decreasing inflammation.
Yeah.
We talked about the importance for babies and how it's carried in the mother's milk.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, well, did we talk about brain health?
We haven't mentioned brain health yet, but brain is neural tissue. And, you know, the retina is part of the central nervous system, part of the brain. It's just on these stalks, the optic nerves. And so it makes sense that, you know, if it's good for the eye, it's probably good for the brain as well. And indeed, we see concentrations that are commensurate with, you know, concentrations in the eye in brain tissues.
Wow.
Tissues that have really high metabolic rate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of oxygen coming to those tissues. These areas serve, you know, important functions.
Yeah.
You know, vision, certainly on the occipital lobe, you know, hearing, executive function, you know, frontal lobes, hippocampus is kind of the gateway to long-term memory. And, you know, of course, we see a lot of cognitive performance enhancement that is related to macular pigment level, which is, of course, related to brain levels. And we see this across the board. We see this in pre-adolescent children. There's a study out of Randy Hammond's lab at the University of Georgia, 2018, that showed that macular pigment levels in these kids, you know, school-aged children, basically accounted for 10% of their intellectual performance, you know, school performance. Yeah. So I'm not sure there's any other nutrient we could make that claim for, but this macular, again, correcting for socioeconomic status, parental education, just that macular pigment accounted for that change. And so things like attention, sustained attention, memory, you know, basic intelligence, that kind of stuff, it's really, really cool.
Wow.
And we see this in adults as well. But it starts early, and getting back to the kid conversation.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's an important aspect of all of this. You know, we start at the big end of the end of life, but it's really important to hit this hard and early in life.
All right. So here's what I want to do next. I have a few questions, and I'm going to get Jim to give us a short answer, so less than a minute and a half.
Okay.
Because I feel like then it'll help us to better be able to have these conversations with our patients. So,
sure.
How about this? And you tell me if you want to skip, you tell me skip because I have enough.
Okay.
Why can't I just buy generic vitamins? That's what patients are going to call them.
Yep.
Over the counter. Yep. If it says, because once in a while I'll have patients ask me, Jim, well, what's in it?
Yep, of course. And then they go to Walmart and Price Shop and
So give me the 1.5 minute answer or less.
This
why can't I buy generic?
Great question. I'm glad I get to talk about this because, you know, part of my charge as the chief scientific officer for MacuHealth is to ensure that we have product quality and we have in the pill what is on the label and there's stability. And so there aren't any other supplement companies that do this for carotenoids where we're third-party tested. First of all, the entire operation from, you know, the beginning to end is, you know, pharmaceutical grade. It's, you know, the top quality. It costs more money to do it that way. But I can hand you a 10-year-old MacuHealth pill and ensure, even a 10-year-old, I mean, it's only a 3-year shelf life, right? That will have the same amount that's set on the label, the same quality, and there's not going to be any contaminants in it. So, you know, if you do it right, you suspend these things in the right, you know, kind of suspension oil, for instance, sunflower oil in our case, light tight, you know, and you do it right from the beginning, vacuum sealed, no oxygen getting in there, you're good. And so quality is ensured. And we don't take our word for it. I mean, we have it third party tested. And so, you know, they say here, and if anything happens to be wrong or weird, we pull that batch and we redo it. Yeah. Which rarely happens, by the way.
That's incredible. Okay, here we go. Should parents think about supplements such as carotenoids, so MacuHealth, for children?
I think so. I mean, that's my strong opinion, actually. I really believe in this stuff. And I've seen it with my own eyes, with my own children, for sure. And then you mentioned earlier, I work with athletes. There are a lot of data underway right now with regard to concussion, TBI. And, you know, God forbid, I mean, if your kid's involved in sports, God forbid they sustain some sort of even a jostling of the head. They get tackled maybe and they go down and bump their head. There's a lot of data to suggest there's, you know, really great benefit of these nutrients to recovery, to the severity of the injury. And, you know, the brain isn't meant to be, you know, bonked around very often. And so if, you know, in fact, that's the case, and I see kids in athletics and, you know, it worries me a little bit, but, you know, cognitive health, just systemically, all of it is so good, and protection, you know, against potential damage this way, and so which we never want to see.
That's right. I'm a big fan. I mean, if it's good enough for them to, if there's even the chance, a little bit of a chance that it's going to make a difference for them and make their future better, I think any parent's going to want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about, it's not on here, but I'm going to ask you, what do I do, Jim, when a patient calls me and says, another doctor told them there's no benefit to MacuHealth or any vitamin that or supplement that has carotenoids in it until you have a disease?
Wow. This is something, yeah, and I sympathize with this. I've heard this a lot myself. Doctors come to me and say, I can't work with my, you know, retina specialist because they have that approach, and we mentioned earlier the wait till it's broken to fix it. And it came out of the big AREDS study, which showed, I mean, and again, this was a population of people who already had macular degeneration. So you start in a disease state and they're looking at progression. One of the findings was this significant reduction in progression from an intermediate stage to the late stage. So what doctors are taking out of that, ophthalmology largely, and retina specialists certainly, is that you only get benefit if you've got intermediate AMD.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, we've been talking largely about prevention here.
Right.
And how the earliest research in an AMD study, 94, it said, okay, if you have a really great diet for your whole life, you're going to get this massive benefit later in life. 43% reduced risk. That's better than any drug out there on the market. Well, it blows drugs away, right? So, you know, that's speaking to prevention. And so, yeah, when it's hard for me not to get a little bit worked up when I hear about this because it still is happening. And, you know, doctors say, well, you're not going to get any benefit. I say, you know, science. That's always my defense. I mean, I'm a scientist, but, you know, we have loads of data that speak to prevention, and, you know, interventional data, epidemiological data, cross-sectional data. And so it's, you know, that's how I answer that. And hopefully, you know, as a respected optometrist, your patient will listen, you know.
Let me see if, does this make sense to make this correlation? We have for years had people, companies come out with eye drops, and they have told us that it isn't contraindicated with contacts, but it hasn't been studied with contacts, or it isn't contraindicated with this because it hasn't been studied with that. We can't tell you it is for that. Right. So I think when you look at this, the easy answer, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I honestly never thought about it that way, is to help our patients to understand that, yes, your retina doctor is correct that one study did not show any difference because it didn't study it.
It wasn't studied in that population, yeah. There wasn't a chance for prevention.
But there have been studies since then that absolutely show the benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't live in those days anymore. We live today, and thank goodness we have scientists like you and Nicole that do all of this research and help us to know that there's something newer and better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the science has matured I mean, light years, even in the past 10 or 15 years. And so we know about measles zeaxanthin now and how, you know, this apparent conversion enzyme that, you know, typically in the quote-unquote normal individual converts about half of lutein into measles zeaxanthin in the retina, in the RPE, distributes it, puts it right in the center of that distribution of macular pigment density. That's the normal, individual. But it looks like at least 20% of people have a compromised conversion.
Right.
And so instead of having their normal macular pigment density, that measles zeaxanthin peak in the center, they don't. They have a dip.
Wow.
And as it turns out, half of those people they end up developing macular degeneration. They have a family history. Half of the people with a family history of macular degeneration have this dip. They have the compromised conversion enzyme. So it's this puzzle that we've kind of figured out. By feeding measles zeaxanthin, you compensate for that. You build up that peak. So you don't have to worry about that, even if you have a family history of macular degeneration. And so, science has evolved. And it's changing even, day to day now.
Yeah.
But we know so much more beyond the ARID study.
I'll tell you what it makes me feel like many times. It makes me feel like the days before we knew to wash our hands. Before, and I didn't deliver babies, and I still don't. But
even delivering babies,
Oh, my gosh. How long did it take for people to believe that washing your hands as you went from an autopsy to delivering a baby was the right thing to do?
Yeah.
It wasn't accepted.
Yeah, that's right.
And
now we say germs, and it's like, oh, everybody knows that. I mean, my gosh.
There's hand sanitizer hanging on every wall.
I know, exactly.
So here we've come so far, and sure, we can sit around and we can wait for life to not get better, and we can wait for our patients to get worse.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be that doctor, Jim, that's not going to take what you have found and say to my patients, if you listen to me, we have a chance to prevent problems, to improve your vision today, and not just vision. Look at the difference we can make medically in so many other areas for you.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate that, April. I mean, that means a lot because, you're able to apply the stuff that we find in the lab and get it out into the world and into patients. And I mean, it's this full circle thing, when you're talking about, measuring skin carotenoids, you get this picture of just general health.
Right.
And our device, of course, is called the Life Meter, and it really is kind of like, your life score, like how alive are you? How healthy are you? And it sounds silly, but it's kind of like, all right, I think we kind of named it appropriately or got lucky.
I do too.
And so it's, and it's quite a scale. You see this with your own eyes and you can see somebody, like I used to predict macular pigment, I'd get a subject walking in and I'd be like, well, they're probably going to be about a 0.5, and I was got to be pretty good after a while, just kind of looking at them. It was just crazy, and you can kind of, I don't know, practice, I guess, but the Life Meter is very similar. And not always. I mean, you can sometimes see somebody young and healthy, quote unquote, and they're not actually, you bring them into the lab and it's like, yikes,
what happened?
You're pretty
you're
bad.
Living on cheeseburgers and french fries.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. I mean, when I was at Duke, I measured a 21-year-old kid, a junior at Duke. He comes in. He's, looks young and healthy and whatever. And I measured his macular pigment and he had zero, none, which is almost everybody I measure is kind of low, generally speaking. But zero is pretty rare. That's like 1 in 100, measures.
Goodness.
And I said, Justin, have you ever, what's going on with your diet? What do you eat? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, do you ever eat fruits and vegetables? He said, oh my gosh, no, I actively avoid fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
And I said, seriously? And he said, yeah. I said, your parents never made you eat your fruit? No, I fought them so hard on that, and they just gave up. He even takes the iceberg lettuce off his hamburgers. And I'm like, well, that's not going to do much good anyway.
Right.
But,
we'll let you have that.
And so I measured other aspects of his vision, like speed of processing, contrast sensitivity. Terrible. I mean, awful. And I helped in a glaucoma lab, and I had measured a glaucoma patient, severe glaucoma, 67 years old, faster visual processing than this 21-year-old kid.
Wow.
Better contrast sensitivity by far than Justin. I told him that, and he was like, what? Oh my gosh. And he was,
what did you
into do? Sports and stuff, and he played racquetball. And I said, here, you need to take a bottle. I gave him a bottle of a, you know, a study sample of MacuHealth, and I said, take this, and take one a day, you know, come back in a couple of months, measure him. He went up. I ended up taking the job at MacuHealth, and but I had my guys at Duke measure him, and he's gone quite a bit up, and so he's above average now. He's doing much better. Yeah, so he responded very favorably, thankfully, and he noticed. This is the cool thing, you know. He was like, "Oh my gosh, my vision's so much better. You know, I don't have to wear my sunglasses outside all the time. It just doesn't hurt as much. You know, my vision's richer." And yeah, he swears he's got better reaction time, which he probably does, you know, with racquetball. And so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
And imagine he would have gone to an optometrist or another eye doctor who would have said nothing about it at all. And that's why I feel like, you know, when you start conversations sometimes for your practice with your staff, you think about the opportunity when you have something new that comes along. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with seeing opportunity.
Right.
But I think of this as an obligation. I'm obligated as a doctor to have this conversation, because now I know you've brought the information to me. It's my job now to carry it forward to my patients. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Jim, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing the information with us. And I'm going to come back and ask you more questions again another time.
I'm happy to do it, April. Thank you very much.